Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Nirivara Dari Gopi Jana Balava Nirivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Nirivara Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Oh, Premanandi Hari Hari Bo
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Text Number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatam vyasam tato jayam dhirayet nastapreshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatir uttamas loke bhaktir bhavati naishtikim. So, text number 9. Karmanyo Gunavan kalo dravyataha svata eva va yato nivartate kama sa dosho karmakaha smritaha kamanyo gunavan kalo dravyatak svata eva va yato nivartate karma sadosho karma kaha smritaha karmanyo gunavan kalo dravyatak svata eva va yato nivartate karma sadosho karma kaksmitaha kamanyo gunavan kalo dravyata svata eva va yato nivartate karma sadosho karma kaksmitaha kamanyo gunavan kalo dravyata svata eva va yato nivartate karma sadosho karma kasmitaha. Anyone else? Sam? Manyo gunavan kalo dravyatak svata eva va nato nivartate kama sadosho kama kasmita kamanya. Suitable for executing one's prescribed duty. Gunavan, pure. Kalaha, time. Dravyataha, by achievement of auspicious objects. Svataha, by its own nature. Eva, indeed. Va, or. Yataha, due to which time. Nivartate, is impeded. Karma, one's duty. Saha, this time. Doshaha, impure. Akarmakaha, inappropriate for working properly. Smritaha, is considered. Translation. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia for the performance of one's prescribed duty. That time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. Please repeat. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia for the performance of one's prescribed duty. That time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. Purport. Having discussed pure and impure places, the Lord now discusses different qualities of time. Certain times, such as Brahma Muhurta, the last few hours before sunrise, are always auspicious for spiritual advancement. Other times, not auspicious in themselves, become so by achievement of material prosperity that facilitates one's mission in life. Political, social, or economic disturbances that obstruct the execution of one's religious duties are considered inauspicious times. Let me repeat that. It's quite a statement. It encompasses a lot of different things. Political, social, or economic disturbances that obstruct the execution of one's religious duties are considered inauspicious times. Similarly, a woman is considered contaminated just after childbirth or during her menstrual period. She cannot perform ordinary religious activities at such times, which are therefore inauspicious and impure. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all times is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one neglects the loving service of the Lord, being carried away by sense gratification, he is certainly living in most inauspicious times. Therefore, that moment in which one achieves the association of the Supreme Lord or the Lord's pure devotee is the most auspicious time, whereas the moment of losing such association is most inauspicious. In other words, the perfection of life is simply Krishna consciousness by which one transcends the dualities of time and space caused by the three modes of material nature. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Jana Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinomane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Prasachade Shakarine. So here Lord Krishna is talking about time, such an important commodity that practically rules everything in our life, time. So the specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate, either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia. So the first point mentioned is about appropriate time, such as Brahma Muhurta. That the last few hours before sunrise. So that's the best time for spiritual life. Especially chanting our japa. And it's much easier to chant then. The modes of nature aren't so strong. It's more in the mode of goodness. So we can much more easily focus on chanting the holy names. And if we can even get up early before Mangal Arati and chant, that's even better. Better for hearing the holy names. The earlier we rise, the better. But after that, the whole world, it's all a matter of time. Everything is going in cycles. There's different yugas. There's different seasons. There, even during the day, different times of the day are good for different things. So as the day progresses, different modes of nature come into play. Like in the morning, after sunrise, most people are going to work. So they're passionately getting in their cars and driving and, rushing to get to work. So that's that time of the day. And then again in the evening, they're rushing to come home from work. So time is like that. Certain times are appropriate for certain things. That's why Srila Prabhupada, designed the morning program. It's a wonderful opportunity to execute our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means sadhana, or practicing reviving our original Krishna consciousness. We're all originally Krishna conscious beings. We all have that love for Krishna within our hearts. That is our original nature. But having fallen down to this material realm, that original love is covered over. And exhibited in the form of lust or desire for sense gratification. So how do we reverse that? We reverse that by sadhana bhakti. And the best sadhana, I mean, for me personally, sadhana means morning program. Prabhupada has said on so many occasions, we must rise early in the morning, attend Mangalartik. There's a story I heard recently that during the Kumbh Mela, Giriraj Swami was telling this story. During the Kumbh Mela, Prabhupada was there and all the devotees were there. And it was quite cold in the morning. So devotees were having a tendency to sleep in and not get up. So Prabhupada himself got up early and took a bath outside with the loda. And he showed by his example that we must rise early. If we don't, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a song, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole, Kotra Nidra Yayo Maya, Pisa Chira Kole. If we don't, then he states that we're sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya. So does anybody want to sleep on the lap of a witch? I don't think so. So it's best to rise early, and that's how Krishna consciousness is innate. It's innate in all living beings. That seed of bhakti is there. But Prabhupada states in Nectar Devotion that there's no practice to make us Krishna conscious, but there's a practice to revive our original Krishna consciousness. It's already there, just like a child when it's growing up. It after a while it can start to walk because it has that innate ability to walk, right, Sam? Sam, a child has the ability to walk, right? But just by practicing, it revives that ability to walk. So that's what sadhana bhakti is, and that's what the morning program is. If I can mention a little bit about it. The first thing when you come in at 4:30 in the morning, you get darshan of the deities. You see their beautiful form, how they're dressed. And I know for me personally, immediately, my consciousness is transformed from a sleepy, foggy state. You immediately see the beautiful form of the Lord standing there in his threefold bending form, holding his flute, Sri Sri Gornatai, giving out their mercy, Lord Jagannath. So immediately your consciousness is transformed, and then you start to chant the holy names. So it's just a wonderful day, wonderful way to start your day. It should be the foundation of your day. Just like a building has a strong foundation or else it's a little shaky. So we don't want to be in a shaky building. A lot of the buildings here in this neighborhood sometimes are shaky or uneven. 19, 20 homes. So a lot of times they have to fix the foundation. So we have to make our foundation, and really our foundation in Krishna consciousness is our morning program. So after having kirtan, I mean, you can be in spiritual bliss at 4:30 in the morning rather than sleeping in, rather than being on a witch's lap. You can be in transcendental bliss. Which sounds better? That's an obvious answer to that question. So we can be in transcendental bliss at so early in the morning, and then after that, we worship Tulsi Puja, which is so auspicious. It's said that by worshiping Tulsi, all our impediments to devotional service can be removed. And then we chant our japa, absorb ourselves in chanting of the holy names. So Srila Prabhupada designed this morning program so we can remember Krishna, so we can revive our Krishna consciousness. Then we greet the deities again and see them in their beautiful dress, fresh garlands, and again chant the holy names. And then we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So that fortifies us against Maya. We need that fortification. Maya is always there. It's like I was thinking it, like if you had some water in a cup or any kind of vessel, you had some water, and if there was a slight crack or just a slight hole in that vessel, the water is going to leak out. So that's like Maya is always looking for any tiny crack or any tiny leak, and she'll just come right in. So we have to fortify ourselves against Maya by our sadhana, by our morning program. That's our foundation. So that's the most auspicious time in the morning. And it says, other times not auspicious by themselves become so by achievement of material prosperity that facilitates one's mission in life. So sometimes certain times of the day may be good for our business or something like that. So again, they may not be generally auspicious, but if it's helping our mission in life, then they become auspicious. And certain times which might be auspicious can become inauspicious, such as it explains here about women that give childbirth, then they can't engage in religious activities. Anyway, I won't go into that, etc. But another very important point here, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all time is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the moment that we're all looking for. Many of us, when we joined, we got some special mercy. Krishna showered some special blessings on us that made us decide to devote our lives to Krishna consciousness. I know in my case it happened to me, and I've spoken to other devotees where there's some special moment where you really get some special mercy by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that you can never forget, that impel you to decide to devote your life to Krishna consciousness. So that's some very great mercy. We're all rotating. Brahmanda Brahmate Kone Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. So the conditioned soul is wandering in this material world from higher and lower positions until he gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that's the moment that we're all looking for, to get that mercy of Krishna. There's one song, Vaishnavacharya, I just always remember one line, Bhakti Titi Mala Chandan. That Titi means a period of time. So that period of time that we can feel bhakti or love for Krishna, that he's saying that I'll decorate that time with a garland and sandalwood pulp. That's how wonderful that time is. We're all waiting for that time, and then we have to work for it. It doesn't happen automatically. I was listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said, we have to work in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. Not that we should be endeavoring to see Krishna, but we should work in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. And he explains the best way to do that is by preaching Krishna consciousness. By going out and giving Krishna consciousness to others in whatever way we can, then Krishna will recognize us. Krishna will see us. And then we don't have to worry about anything. If Krishna recognizes us, then we'll get Krishna's mercy. And our life will be fulfilled. So Krishna is all-devouring time. It states in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi. Kala Kaliyatam Asmi, that I am all devouring time. So that's Krishna's agent in this material world. When Arjuna saw the universal form of Krishna, he saw that everything and everyone was being devoured. All these mouths and faces and teeth and fire and everything was being devoured, all living entities and everything. So Arjuna asked Krishna, who are you? What is this manifestation? And Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds. And again he says in a later chapter, of subduers I am time. So no matter what we achieve in this material world, eventually we'll lose it. We'll lose it due to the time factor. So the best thing is to utilize our time in fully engaging in devotional service. There's a verse in Nectar of Instruction. See if I can find it. Yeah. Tanama rupa charitadi sukirtinano smitro kamena vasana manasi niyoja tistan vajetan anuragi janugami kalam nayed akilamiti upadesha sharam. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So this is the essence of all advice. There it is right there. One should utilize one's full time 24 hours a day. Whenever we can, we should always hear and chant about Krishna. From the time we wake up to the time we take rest, we should be constantly, Prabhupada says, we should always chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada has given us this wonderful gift of his books. Just by reading them, we can transform our consciousness. The other day, it was in the evening, and I was kind of feeling a little bit morose, and I thought, well, maybe I'll do some reading. And I thought, no, I don't really feel like reading right now. But anyway, I just picked up the book, and I started reading. It was Krishna book. And I was just amazed. Immediately, my consciousness was totally transformed. All the moroseness was gone, and I was just feeling so enlivened and blissful. These books Prabhupada has given us, they're really something very, very special. It's like you've always wanted something, and then suddenly somebody gives you that as a gift. It's like, oh, this is just what I wanted. How did you know? So it's actually, these books are really just what we wanted, just what our soul wants, and they'll give all happiness and pleasure to our soul. So sometimes we have to force ourselves to just sit down and read these books. One time, I think I've mentioned this before, but haven't given class in a while, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving class here in Dallas. And he said, so is everybody reading Prabhupada's books? And it was kind of, the room kind of went silent. And then he said, what has to happen for you to read Prabhupada's books? So they're very, very special. We should take advantage of it. And like if someone gives you a gift and you say, and you ignore them, or you say, no, I don't want it, you know, take it back. You know, then it's kind of like we're being very ungrateful. So we should be grateful for this gift and take advantage of it. You know, I'm speaking for myself also. Because sometimes we don't take advantage of it. But we just have to sit down and open these books. And especially Krishna book is such a powerful book. Prabhupada wrote that book just so we would understand what Krishna's pastimes are. It states in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktvadeham puna janma naiti mameti sarjuna. The pastimes of the Lord are not material, they're transcendental. So Prabhupada wanted us to have that. He was translating the earlier beginning volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he decided to go right to the 10th canto, to give us the 10th canto, so we wouldn't miss out. We wouldn't miss out on the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. He just couldn't wait, you know, to give us that nectar. It's just, he didn't want us to miss out or somehow not know what the ultimate goal is. He just wanted to give us that ultimate goal of remembering Krishna and being absorbed in his pastimes. I believe it's chapter 34 of the Krishna book. The gopis feeling separation from Krishna, It states the gopis of Vrindavan were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his pastimes during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with the cowherd boys and cows, the gopis did not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his association through strong feelings of separation. To acquire this feeling of separation is a teaching of the six Goswamis. When we're not in physical association with Krishna, we can enjoy his association like the gopis through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all transcendental. There are nine different processes of devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna with feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest perfectional level, to the level of the gopis. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness by engaging in these nine processes of devotional service. So when the gopis were feeling separation from Krishna, what did they do? They simply remembered Krishna's pastimes, and they engaged in speaking to each other about many of Krishna's different pastimes, just describing how he plays on his flute and how he walks on Govardhan Hill and how he's tending the cows. And they're just talking to each other about Krishna's pastimes like that. And then at the end of the chapter, Prabhupada states, such descriptions of Krishna's transcendental pastimes were remembered by the gopis during his absence from Vrindavan. They give us some idea of Krishna's attraction. Everyone and everything is attracted to Krishna. That is the perfect description of Krishna's attraction. So everyone and everything is attracted to Krishna. And then he says, the example of the gopis is very instructive for those who are trying to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And he says, one can easily associate with Krishna simply by remembering his transcendental pastimes. It's interesting. Prabhupada said one can easily associate with Krishna. I mean, it seems so difficult, but Prabhupada is saying one can easily associate with Krishna. That he's made that possible. It's Prabhupada's mercy that we can easily associate with Krishna. Otherwise, it's totally impossible. But because Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna, he's giving us Krishna. We can't directly go to Krishna, but through the mercy of a pure devotee, then we can approach Krishna. So through Prabhupada's mercy, we can easily approach Krishna by remembering his transcendental pastimes, which, of course, we got from Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada says, everyone has a tendency to love someone. That Krishna should be the object of love is the central point in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is explaining right there what is the goal of Krishna consciousness. The central point is to develop our love for Krishna. At a home program recently, Giriraj Swami was relating something that Bhardwaj Prabhu had told him in the early days. And he said, Krishna consciousness is simply love masquerading as philosophy. So we have so much philosophy and so many books, and we have to realize the ultimate goal, that is developing our love for Krishna. So, and then Prabhupada says, simply by chanting, constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and remembering the pastimes of the Lord, one can be fully in Krishna consciousness and make one's life fruitful and sublime. So that's the formula. Remember the pastimes of the Lord, hear about the Lord, read Prabhupada's books, and constantly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. It's very important. We just had this wonderful Kirtan Mela, and so many people are coming and chanting the Maha Mantra. Congregational chanting is the most powerful thing. Rupa Goswami states that this Sankirtan, this congregational chanting, is an especially powerful form of chanting the holy names. Chanting japa is powerful also, but this Sankirtan, this congregational chanting, is the most powerful. And we could see everybody was so blissful, so absorbed in chanting the holy names and just forgetting everything else and just chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Because this is the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. This Lord Chaitanya, he's come. That's why he's come. He's come specifically to give this holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his songs that Arundhya Kirtan, or the kirtans that are meant to be sung at the beginning of the day, at dawn, that Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Boli, Kotra Nidra Yayomaya, Pisa Chira Koli. Lord Gauranga's calling, that he's come. He's come to give this holy name to us. That's the very reason he's come. That's the principal reason that he's come, to distribute the holy name. So we have to take that holy name. We have to accept it. And Sachinandan Swami also in a kirtan in Mayapur, he says the same thing. He said he's telling the devotees, there is the Panchatattva on the altar. They've come to distribute the holy names. So we should beg them, you've come to give the holy names. So now please, please, please give that holy name to me. So Lord Chaitanya can do that. He can give us the pure holy names. We just have to accept it. We just have to take it. If we don't take it, then what can be done? There's some prayers also to the holy name, Harinam Astakam. And the last verse is, Dukam Dukam Mahadukam, Dukam Parataram Dukam. That the greatest misery is that people don't take the holy name. They just treat it like a broken piece of glass, or they just neglect it. So that's the greatest sorrow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that other than the holy name, there's nothing else of value in this material world. Imagine that. There's nothing else of value. The only thing of value in this material world is the holy name of the Lord. So if we don't take that, then it's a great sorrow. So we had this Kirtan Mela, and it's very wonderful, but every day, it's like we feed our bodies every day with food. So every day, we have to feed our bodies with this Sankirtan Yajna. And it can be just as blissful. It doesn't have to be just at a Kirtan Mela, but it can be at Mangal Arati, at Guru Puja. We can be just as blissful as we were in that Kirtan Mela. And that's what our soul requires. It stated that our hearts are like a desert. And enjoying sense gratification is like a few drops of water like getting a few drops of water in a scorching desert. It's not really going to satisfy us. The only thing that will satisfy our hearts is Krishna prema, pure love for Krishna. That will satisfy our hearts. So there's no point in trying to taste some honey by licking the outside of the jar. Much easier to open the jar and taste the honey. So as much as possible, we should come and chant the holy names in kirtan together. And there's power in numbers. I know at that kirtan mela, there was definitely some more power there when so many people in one room would chant together. It would really penetrate the heart. So the more devotees that come together and chant, the more powerful it is. So that's what we want. We're waiting for our moment of pure consciousness, our pure devotional service. And Narada Muni states in Srimad Bhagavatam that what is the use of a full life of material enjoyment? Rather have one moment of pure spiritual consciousness, then our lives can be transformed. We'll always remember that moment for the rest of our lives, for eternity, if we can have one moment of pure consciousness. So we can achieve that. It's there. By chanting Hare Krishna, by seeing the deities, by reading Prabhupada books. It can happen in a moment, like many of us got some special mercy when we first joined the movement, that we never forget, that keeps us in Krishna consciousness. And it can also happen gradually by the performance of sadhana. We will have that moment of meeting Krishna. One devotee, I think his name is Naranarayan. Naranarayan Rishi. Lives in Los Angeles. He once had the urge to ask Prabhupada if he could really become Krishna conscious. So he was thinking, should I ask Prabhupada? Should I ask Prabhupada? So finally, he stormed into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada was just chanting japa, walking in circles. And he said, Prabhupada, can I really, really become Krishna conscious in this lifetime? So Prabhupada thought for a little bit. He chanted a little bit. And he said, yes, why not? If you're following the process, why not? And then he chanted a little more, walked around, and he said, but it may take some time. So that's another ingredient also in Krishna consciousness. We have to be patient. But at the same time, we have to endeavor with enthusiasm. If we endeavor with enthusiasm, then Krishna will keep giving us the taste that we need to carry on. Well, let's see if there's anything else I wanted to mention. Yeah, so time is such an important commodity in our life. Even a moment's association, it's also stated, with a pure devotee can change our life. So we shouldn't waste our time. You know, I'm saying this for myself also. Time is very valuable. Whatever time you've lost, you can't get it back. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur implores us to not think about the past and not daydream about the future, but to work in the times of present, and we'll make progress in our Krishna consciousness. So I think I'll stop there. Anybody have any questions or comments? Sam. Well, this entire world is like a mental hospital. Material universe is like a prison house. So, and the Yamadutas are like the guards, or they're guarding everything, and they're putting us in the proper, they bring us to Yamaraj, and he puts us in whatever prison or whatever cell we're gonna habitate. He puts us in that position. Yeah, like Earth. Or we might go to the heavenly planets or to the hellish planets. So it's a prison house for the fallen souls. Right. So eventually we're not meant to live in the prison house. We're meant to get out and enjoy freedom. So real freedom is spiritual freedom. The soul wants to enjoy the spiritual light and freedom that is its original position in the absolute truth, either in Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan realization. The spirit soul wants to be free from this material entanglement. So we can revive that by doing what you're doing, coming every day early in the morning to the temple. That's how we can revive it. Any other comments or questions? Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.